This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Morning, guys. My name is Ruan Mokke, for those who haven't seen me before. For the newcomers, I am not the official pastor of the church. I am just filling in for them, although both of them, here's the third pastor in the English service. So the first service, I try to, you know, play to their strengths, you know, so I get good marks for the sermon. Hey, Padilla, are you doing well? So I'll try and play to Stu's strength as well, so I get good marks. All right, so, yeah, the sermon that the Lord just laid on my heart is actually, it has come with me a long time, but a couple of weeks ago, there was, Pastor Andres was here, and he just really cemented this thing in my spirit, and I just really want to talk to you guys about it. But you know, we in this time of the year where we look back at the things we've done this year. It's the 1st of December, so there's 11 months past, and we oftentimes think of what happened or where did the year go. You know, everything happened so quickly. You know, our shoulders on the plow or whatever. And then when you look up, it's December. The other thing that happens is you look forwards. You know, you look to next year, 2020, and you think of the things you're going to do differently. And, you know, we all have these ideas that once we're refreshed, you know, after this festive season, that, you know, we're going to have new strength and we're going to tackle new things. But we end up eating so much over certain days of this month that, you know, we actually want to lie in bed for a couple of weeks just to recover. But it's all good. So, just for interest's sake, who of you have made resolutions before about a new coming year? Don't be shy. Yeah. All right. So the big question I need to ask is, what percentage of those resolutions did you fulfill through the whole year? A lot? Not much, eh? You know, and the thing with resolutions, they don't need to be even something difficult. I remember a person in my family, they decided they want to put a jar of water, a jar of water, see, English isn't my first language, on the table every time we have dinner, or they have dinner, and yeah, it just didn't happen, you know, and it's, so it doesn't need to be something life-changing or so, but it's, we struggle to just keep those things, you know. Research shows that actually, about 80% of all resolutions fail within mid-February. So that's 6 weeks. So that means if everybody starts working mid-January, it means it's 4 weeks of work, and then we decide, oh no, it's too much. We can't go on. And the term resolution, we use it when we've made this firm decision to do something or not to do something sometimes. So there's this decision, you know. And I want to talk a little bit about decisions today. And for that, we're going to read some scripture. And actually, a lot of scripture. And I did check, it is legal to read a lot of scripture in church. So for you guys who have your Bibles, open them at Ruth. Those have applications on their phones. Also Ruth. Okay. Okay, so Ruth 1, we're going to start at verse 4. So Ruth is a very short book, so we could probably read through it. But it's such a magnificent book, actually. Do yourself a favor and read through it. But we'll start at verse 4. So it just starts off, we're starting a paragraph into the first part of Ruth, and it's just starting off with a look back at Ruth's sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. For the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death pass me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So this is a very well-known, scripture, especially at weddings. Or the last part at least. And there's a reason for that. You know, there are different levels of decision making. Me and Freddie, we took our sons camping on Friday night. So we decided we're going camping with them. When we took them, we did a bit of fishing and swimming, and you know, that was all fun until they were really, really dirty from head to toe, just mud everywhere and in between their teeth and everything. Anyway, and so yeah, we couldn't just decide to show them a good time. You know, my sons are quite small, and I had to decide, am I going to bath them or not? And decision, I was quite determined to bath them, because they couldn't climb into our tent, or obviously the sleeping bag, with so much dirt on them. So even though they wrestled a bit with me, I was determined for them not to win. So you know, certain decisions are done with a lot more vigor, or what is the word? You know, just you're quite determined to do them. Where others are, you know. Sometimes resolutions are, you know, some a little bit less so. So the thing I want to show you is in verse 7. So Ruth is talking to her daughters-in-law, and she says, "So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah." So let's just stop there quickly. The thing I want you to recognize here is that both the daughters, both Orpah and Ruth, decided to go. You know, this discussion that we're talking about here wasn't at their house, their Moabite house. It was on the road. Both of them woke up to help their mother-in-law pack. They packed the donkeys and the camels and everything they had, and they were on their way. Both made a decision already to follow her. So the thing that Naomi did is she said three things to her daughters-in-law. And I want you to just see what she actually said. In verse 8 she said, "But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me.'" So just a little bit of a side note, when your mother-in-law tells you to go to your mother's house, you know, it's not always because she's angry at you, all right, or you did something wrong. But here what she says is, go. May they deal kindly with you. She says, you are going to be okay away from me. You must understand, Naomi was over 50 years old at this stage, and she's walked with the Lord, and she knows a lot of things, or she has some experiences with the Lord, and we'll talk about that later. But the thing is, you know, she said to them, they will deal kindly with you. Go to your mother's house. And oftentimes we're in a situation where, you know, the Lord lays something in our heart, but the world says, you know, you're going to be okay without that. You are going to be okay away from this action, or not implementing this. And the thing is, what we need to understand is that in those times, being a woman had not a lot, there wasn't much worth in it unless you had children, unless you had a husband. They couldn't buy land. There was a lot of things that they couldn't do. So Naomi is telling them, guys, go to your mother's house, because they're on their way to a new place. A new place where they're going on their way to Bethlehem or Jerusalem as well. And he says to them, or Ruth, Naomi says to them, listen here, go to the people that you know. Go to the people that understand you. Go to the people whose traditions you're accustomed to. Because now they're going to an unknown part of the land, which they've never been. They're going to custom and traditions that they've not really experienced except through Naomi. And Naomi is telling them, go. And the thing is, if the only thing they wanted was blessings. In Afrikaans, they talk about the word guns. Then they would have left. And you know, sometimes we come into a situation when we need to decide, are we going to follow the Lord, even though there is a lot more blessing on this side? It seems that there is a lot more guns. Favor, thank you, on this side. Thank you, Carol. In verse 11, she says, "But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, Would you therefore wait till they were grown? Naomi asked, are you willing to wait? Are you willing to wait? As I said, Naomi was 50 years old by that time. If she literally bore a son that time, they would be as old, Ruth and Orpah would be as old as Naomi was before they were eligible for marriage. That's a long time. And sometimes we're in the situation where the Lord asks us, are you willing to wait? We have this need, or we have this desire, and we want to see the fruit, we want some results. And the Lord says, but are you willing to wait? And the thing for Orpah was, she wasn't. After this, Orpah said, you know, sorry. Thank you. But sorry. I'm going. She decided she would rather go to an area where she had more security with regards to her family members being there. She would have more favor. She wouldn't need to wait. And there's a big difference between the decision they made that morning when Orpah and Ruth just decided to walk with Naomi. There is a difference in their decision making. And we're going to chat about that. But first we need to complete one thought before we go to another one. At you. The third thing, verse 15. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. The deity of the Moabites at that stage was Chemosh. And he was known as the destroyer. And they believed that he gave them the ability to destroy other nations, to give them land, to give them victory. So Ruth is Naomi says to Ruth, Ruth, these gods promise victory. Will you choose them? And Ruth said no. I want you to see the amazing parallel between what happened to Ruth and what happened to Jesus when the deceiver came after his 40-day fast. What did he tell him? The deceiver said, if you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. Do yourself a favor. And Christ chose not to. The accuser took the Lord to a high place and he said, jump off. The angels will protect you. He said, go to a place where you will be protected. But Jesus said, no. He told Jesus, he took him to a high place and he said, everything you see, everything I will give to you, I will give you this. I will give you victory. And Jesus said no. The big difference between what Orpah had and what Ruth had was that Orpah made a decision that was firm, a firm decision that morning when she woke up and she said, I am going to go with Naomi. is the same decision that Ruth made, but Ruth had commitment. Where Orpah made a resolution, Ruth made a commitment. When Jesus was tempted, he chose his commitment to the Lord Most High than favor, than a seer-do protection or seer-do victory. In Afrikaans, they use the word verbintenis, to be bonded with, as the word for commitment. Lord, I'm bounded to you and your will, your will. Because the issue with the resolution, it is situationally based. We feel loved because we have family over. We feel rested because most people aren't working. And mid-February, when those situations start changing, our decision changes. Where commitment just doesn't change. It is not situationally based. You are committed to your husband, you are committed to your wife, irrespective of the situation. Irrespective if you are living in a mansion or you don't have a place to stay. Because your commitment doesn't change when the situation changes. So the Lord seeks our commitment irrespective of time or favors of the world, or even acquiring of certain things. When the Lord Jesus, he just showed us his commitment when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it be, but if not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to this plan of salvation for these people who are our enemy. I'm committed. And the thing we need to think of, not only are we committed in our walk with Christ, but what are we committed to in our lives that is not from Christ? What have we bounded ourselves together? The Lord says he came to set the captives free because we become in bondage. Carol, eh? I'll get there eventually. Because we bind ourselves. Because we committed to things that is not eternally based. And no, not everything we are committed to is holier than thou. Not everything we're committed to changes millions of people. Because we're not called to do great things, but great things do happen. We are called to be great in our obedience. Being committed to that what the Lord has told you. That's what Christ showed us. In Deuteronomy, it says, bind these things around your neck. Keep it as frontlets on your forehead. It says, bind it. Be committed to these things. When you stand and when you sit down and when you lie down, be committed to me. Because we are in a world where a lot of things are We are just in a non-committed type of world. Because the idea of that I am entitled to these things are just right. So when I do not receive these things I am entitled to, then I walk away. I go to this place that I will receive it. And yes, there are times when things you've heard, we've heard people that say, you know, I've fallen out of love. Is it not actually that they just say I was never committed, really? I've lost hope or I've lost faith. Isn't the issue really that the commitment really wasn't really there? Because when the situation changes, your commitment doesn't change. Jesus wasn't only committed to what the Lord Most High said, when what God said when he could perform miracles, but he was committed when he was beaten. He was so committed to us, he was committed unto death. And this is what Ruth says. Let death separate us. You know, there are times when people really get hurt. You know, they might be in a church that, you know, start doing unbiblical things. But, or they, you know, they might have gone through a quite severe situation that have caused them agony. But the thing is, when you are committed, your commitment doesn't change. You don't leave the church. You know, it's not, people don't leave their work because there's a guy at work they don't like. They didn't decide, no, I'm going to sit at home till I work for a place where I love everybody. The thing is, you're committed. You're committed to provide for your family. So your commitment will not change when the situation changes. When the 10 virgins were waiting for the wedding, all 10 of them started out with the decision that we are going to be there. But only 5 of them were committed. Only 5 of them had oil. The big issue with being non-committed, the word says that if you were hot, or if you would cold, but now you are lukewarm. Now I spit you out. Because I promise you, if you are not committed, you cannot be discipled. You cannot disciple a person who is not committed. Naomi couldn't work with Ruth. Unless she realized, but she is committed. And I think that's something we should pray for. Those people that you are praying for, we should pray for commitment. Just because the Lord will work with you so much greater if you are committed to His will. You know, there's a lot of people that are doing this triathlon this morning. And they won't complete it if they're not committed. Endurance racing is a funny thing. Not only endurance racing, but exercise in general. Because a lot of people do exercise because you love it. But have you thought about the reason why you have to stop? Why can't you run 1,500 kilometers? Why do you need to stop? Because something becomes unbearable for you to handle. Whether it's fatigue, whether there's a pain. So, exercise is fun, or it's lekker, but you have to stop because it's so bad. Have you thought about that? But the thing is, you committed to it, and you go again. You will finish that race. Maybe not in one day, but you will finish it because you committed. You know, and the thing is, this is what the Lord asked of us. Naomi had to pick up grains from the ground after other people. She was committed enough to humble herself to pick up grains that have fallen to the ground. And that's what God asks. Just be committed. Be committed to my will. The amazing thing about what Ruth teaches us here is that God sees us. He always sees us. Let me just say it a bit differently. Ruth is one of only four female names mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. She's a Moabite. She is the image of the Gentiles that have been grafted into the vine. Because she was committed. Naomi tested her commitment. And she said, I am. I'm going nowhere. Freddie, can you? Let us stand. We are going to this time of year where we're going to be, where you will be surrounded by a lot of things. But let the thought that abounds in your head be that Christ was committed. Christ was committed, so much so that he was obedient to death. And she said, Ruth, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, Lord. Lord Jesus, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. When the Lord asked the disciples, will you also go away from me? The disciples said, Lord, but where shall we go? What other place is there, Lord? We are committed to you. Father God, thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit just indwells in us. Where your word says, I commit my spirit unto you. Father, thank you that it means you bind your spirit within us, Father. Help us, Father, to to be filled with your Spirit, Father, so much so that it flows out of us, Father. Let us be recognized by our commitment to your word, Father. Let us be recognized by our commitment to your will, Father. Father, our battle is not against flesh and blood, Father, but powers and principalities, Father. And I ask you, Father, make us committed in this battle, Father. Father, you are so committed to us, you've equipped us, Father. Thank you, Father, that we have things in our lives that you've made us, Father, just rentmeesters are, Father. For the things that we need to hold that you've given us, Father. For the wives and husbands, Father, and children, Father. Father, your word, proclaiming of your word, Father, and for the healing of the sick, Father. For the freeing of those who are captive, Father. Drawing sons and daughters to their fathers and mothers. Thank you that we are committed to these things, Father, not because of a situation or that it's emotionally based, Father, but we are committed to it, Father, and it will not change because you don't change.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.